Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Hello. Hello and hi and welcome. You're listening to the Daughter of Godcast. Yet another episode, 0262. That's the title of this episode, 2 as in the number, or maybe 2 like you two. Wait, not the band. Okay, try me too. That's not a band that I know of. Could be, though. Maybe it's a good one. Me too. Oh, there must be a band with the name of Me Too, wouldn't you think? Anyway, here's a milestone. 26 weeks. When I started this podcast, I didn't realize I'd still be going a half a year later. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking, honestly, and that's why I started. I started because podcasting felt good, mostly. Yes, there were rationalizations for podcasting, which eventually imploded, like growing my audience. Branding is another abstraction of similar ilk. Piling symbol upon symbol, a veil of abstraction obscuring the now, the unspeakable, the shine. I started podcasting to have fun, to look back with enhanced eyes, to invent 1,000 answers to one question, why movie? To share a song and see who kicks in with harmonies, deliberately mooring myself along the way. 100,000 words, or more, by now, I'd guess. Have I explained anything? Have I taught you how to make pancakes or accomplish anything pragmatic? Or have I just been singing, paraphrasing that old rascal Alan Watts, the best music is not about anything? We think of words as having a gist, getting us somewhere. If we listen to enough of the right words, our brain will assume an optimal configuration. We'll get smart or wise. We'll figure it all out. If you're having epiphanies listening to these podcasts, it's not because the words mean anything, really. It's just that the word noises and rhythms remind you of who you are. You're using this gush of nonsense and anecdotes that I've been spouting for the last half year as your excuse to flip on your own power switches. You're pretending that I am somehow more entertaining, effervescent, insightful than the mote of dust caught in the light off to your left, or the blade of grass poking up through the concrete outside your front door. I'm just some dude in Michigan yakking into a microphone. You're the Buddha. You're the savior. You're the freaking cosmos. Remember? Hey, shut up over there. You. I'm trying to make a movie here. Hello. Jeez. Freaking neighbors. At the end of episode 025, 2009, I had left Hello World suspended from the ceiling of the artist house and returned to Prospect Heights. But my life in New York City had acquired a definite wobble. I was planning to launch the second expedition of Around Lake Michigan in May of 2010, at the beginning of the summer this time, instead of the end. This would give me 3 months to sail the 1,000 miles around Lake Michigan. From January through April, I did my usual New Yorkish things, Tai Chi and hot babes, but my heart was already on the big lake. I'm going to jump ahead and tell you a few endings. The second expedition launched in June, and Hello World and I headed south. 37 days and 300 miles on the water, west to Chicago, and then just north. Hours and hours of interviews. Then, in mid-July, before we touched a single grain of Wisconsin sand, Hello World and I had a series of unfortunate accidents, the last one next to a decommissioned nuclear power plant that abruptly ended the second expedition. The abrupt ending gave me a summer on Crystal Lake. I had no desire to rush back to Brooklyn. My finances were depleted, the artist house needed a new furnace, and I liked Beulah better than Brooklyn now. I closed down my Prospect Heights presence and moved out of the apartment on August 1st. Now I had two unfinished projects, or maybe two key ingredients in the recipe for the perfect pancakes. Perhaps Daughter of God and Around Lake Michigan weren't separate projects after all. Not sequential incompletions, but synergy. I had told myself and others that Daughter of God was merely deferred. Faisal had offered to workshop the edit while I was sailing. The cast and crew were supposedly waiting. But in episode 022, I said I gave up. Building a fictional apocalypse while an actual apocalypse was nigh seemed silly. I was curious to see what Faisal came up with, certainly. His generous offer enabled me to pretend Daughter of God was just gestating, waiting for me to return and dedicate my full energy. I didn't really feel that. I wasn't imagining Dog Done anymore. My sustainability search was halted, or at least the sailing aspect. Hello World would need major surgery before we could venture out again, and the repair might be more than I could manage. Maybe Around Lake Michigan needed to be retooled, the premise expanded. After 600 miles of sailing and interviews, perhaps this idea was poised to more also. Pseh! Two unfinished movies and an ending to exile in Brooklyn. 6 years of intense adventure and DIY film school. Now what? In my 6 years AWOL from the Benzie County show, new characters had been written into the script. There were intriguing kids playing in my sandbox. The film scene in Traverse City was booming. At the end of 2010, I threw parties and hung out with my nephews, placing myself back on the regional radar screen. I heard about a group of activists flying to Africa to build schools and promote fair trade. Having just sailed 600 miles seeking regional sustainability, I felt I was in a position to offer some gentle critique, mostly to two excellent friends, my younger rabbit brother, James Weston Schaberg, and his wife, Jamaica, who had been invited to go along as documentarians. Hi, I'm Dan Kelly. In 2008, I was invited to sail the Hawaiian Islands and make a movie about sustainability. Getting to Hawaii usually means flying, and that's a big carbon footprint. Documenting low-impact lifestyles while having a big impact myself, that didn't make sense. So I decided to stay home and make my movie here, in Michigan. In fact, I haven't flown on a jet since. The summer I visited my brother to paddle down the San Juan River in Utah, a round trip of over 4,000 miles, and it was Amtrak and cars the whole way. Flying on jets is probably the most environmentally damaging American behavior. If we care about climate change, then we should either stop flying or fly only when we absolutely have to. I love to travel. We can learn incredible things about people and their cultures. Maybe we can even help the folks we visit. But flying to faraway places for a good cause, that's a contradiction. We don't need jets to have adventures or to be of service. Wondrous discoveries await within 200, 20, or even 2 miles of our own front door. People need love and support in our own hometowns. We are responsible for each other, for our common survival. What we do now determines what will happen to us and to our extended family here on Earth. Jet travel is not a responsible choice. It's breaking the global life support system that we all depend on. Live fully. Pay attention. Power down. Well, nobody paid much attention to me. A few feathers ruffled. Who the fuck is Dan Kelly anyway? Well, here he is sailing south in June of 2010, a little beaten up, out of Alberta and en route to Arcadia, needing to make one more pit stop to finesse a few details.
So left from Point Betsy, and it was a very intense day. A very intense day of sailing. The wind was strong, and it was going in the wrong direction. I wanted to go south, and the wind was coming from the south. And that means that if you want to go south, you have to zigzag. And so intense, and I felt like my sailing technique was very rusty. And it was pretty scary out there. And I mentioned it was intense. And I got to Alberta Beach and landed the boat on the beach at around 7 o'clock, and it was really hard to pull up. The hulls had taken on a lot of water. I think what happens is just because they get smashed around in big waves, they just take on water. There's no holes in them. And the pylons are newly caulked, so I don't really know where the water gets in. It must be just coming in through some alternate universe, some wormhole that leads directly into the hulls. So had quite a bit of water in it. It was very hard to pull up on the beach, and fortunately Carrie showed up and gave me some help, and we stabilized her, got her up on the, got Hello World up on the beach, and she was cold, not Hello World, but Carrie, and so I dug out some clothes for Carrie to wear, and she sat on the beach and watched me do my daily end-of-day routine of getting Hello World all situated, and then we went to go get something to eat, but towns of Frankfort and Alberta shut their doors and closed down pretty early. It's still spring, so I guess you can't see my mouth, and that's important, right? Because that establishes intimacy to be able to see my mouth moving. Anyway, come on, how about that? Is that better? Sort of better. Well, anyway. So, we went to get something to eat, but there was nothing to eat. There was nothing to get. Her place was closed. So she just brought me back to the beach and dropped me off and went home. And then I met nice people on the beach. Kevin and, hang on. Brenda. Kevin and Brenda were on the beach and, yeah, they were super nice people and local folks. And they don't know many local people, so I get the honor of hooking them up with some of the other members of the tribe. Well, so we stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning. They had a little beach fire going, and three of us sat there talking, and their dog, Brown Dog, hung out on the beach there and talked for quite a long time about all kinds of good stuff. And then I went over and pitched my tent and climbed inside, and wow, I was just blackness. I entered blackness, and next thing I knew it was light in the tent and I was sore. And I didn't really want to wake up, but I was waking up anyway. So I'm a little bit sleepy, but I was just laying there, almost falling asleep as we sail south, south, south. By the way, when I launched from Alberta this morning, let me finish my story. So I got up in the morning, I did my personal hygiene, ate breakfast, and then listened to the weather report, and they were saying that maybe going to have some thunderstorms over the weekend. It's only Wednesday today, but the weekend is coming up another day or two. But I got perfect wind coming out of the north. If I want to go south and the wind's blowing from the north, it just pushes you along. As you can see,
here we are, just gliding along. And
I'd like to get this a little higher so you can see behind us.
A little surfing. We're doing some surfing back there. It's just beautiful, 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 beautiful. Jib is popping back and forth. Jib doesn't necessarily know what to do when the wind is coming from behind. Just kind of tries to find some place that works. So we're heading now down to the dorm. We're going to stop in Arcadia, and if we can find it. And then I'm going to make a phone call, and the recovery team is going to come out and grab me. And I have to go get a few more things. Yeah, we're not quite completed. We're not completely ready, actually. I'm noticing a few little odds and ends that have to be retuned. So got to get some stuff, a few more things. But so far, so good. Yesterday, a very hard day yesterday. Today, a pretty beautiful, lax day. Almost a little bit nippy, but I said this before. I was listening to the weather radio, and those robots are pretty clever. They give you some interesting little trivia, weather trivia. And like, on this day, June 2nd, the record low was 33 degrees. And the record high was 90. So, 33 degrees, that's like snow coming out of the sky. And 90, that's pretty bitchin' hot. So, I would say today it's about 70, 65, 70 degrees maybe. And it's cloudy, overcast, 30% chance of thunderstorms today. So the robots tell me. Voices in my head that I hear in the morning when I turn the little switch on my ship to shore radio, tuning it into the weather channels. NOAA. Yeah. So it's been good. It's been rough, and it's been good. And getting back into the saddle, back into the swing of things. I'm going to sail around Lake Michigan. That's what I hear. I am going to sail around. I've got a whole summer to do it, 3 months. And I've heard, the rumor is, that I'm actually going to go all the way around. And I'm going to go into these industrial places like Gary in Chicago. And I have to wonder if my boat will get vandalized when it sits wherever it's going to be. I thought maybe one answer to the vandalization issue is anchoring. You know, offshore anchoring. So it's not quite so easy to get to the boat. Because you know what? On the day one, somebody at Point Betsy stole my compass. You know, it wasn't the most amazing compass in the world. It tended to fog up so you could read it, but they just popped it off the little Velcro mount. Now, you know, what's that all about? And, you know, I wonder about the rest of this boat. It's pretty darn vulnerable. I mean, it's all just ropes and little shackles that you can untwist with your fingers. I mean, I really am going to have to ask the universe for some protection here. But the hello world is not molested during this trip. Well, we're zooming along here. I'm going to show you the shore. The shore. Whoa, I don't crash the boat. Ah! So there's beautiful Arcadia off the distance. Let's make sure we got autofocus. There we go. No, that's not Arcadia. I lied. I don't know what that is. That's a bunch of little houses. Probably getting close to Arcadia now. We must be, because I see the bluffs that are supposedly my goal. But the one thing I don't see yet, I do not see the little dock, the little thing that people jump off of when they go to the Arcadia Beach. Maybe I need to sweep in a little closer. Maybe it's still a million miles away. I feel like I've gone probably at least 5-6 miles, if not more. And Arcadia is no more than 9 miles, so we've got to be getting close. I mean, actually, I think that's it right there. Because that bluff, well, you can't really see it with this particular lens, but there's a bluff off to the off to the right there. Hang on, let's get it back in the... Just past the Taurus, you see a sandy bluff. And that bluff is, I'm pretty sure, the bluff that I climb up with the Bear Lake boys, my boys, my dogs, climb up with that, Three Musketeers and run down. I think that must be it right there. But we'll have to see a little pier thing sticking up. I think maybe I do see it. I think that's it right there, just past the Taurus. Oops, there we go, just past the Taurus. Yeah, it's a miracle, right? Look, we're just moving along, and then nobody is, nobody in Louisiana has to shed a tear, because it doesn't, we're just moving along thanks to the sun, which provides the energy that stirs up this atmosphere on this planet and allows us to sail with this this thing called wind. Yeah, so it's a miracle. It's a miracle. We're just going along. And you wonder about solar panels. You know, are they really viable? Or, you know, what about wind turbines? Can they really supply base load? I mean, give me a freaking break. You know, I mean, come on, we're sailing. We're moving, let's see, let's just say 800 pounds, 900 pounds, cruising along here. I don't know what time it is. I got my stopwatch running, but I'm gonna guess an hour, you know, 9 miles an hour. That's pretty good, right? A little gentle ride here, cruising along, able to talk to you and chat and have some quality time together. Quality time together. Yeah, it's spring. I didn't leave. I left 3 weeks late. 3 weeks and a day or two late. But it's spring. It's still spring. So I'm out here early. And then you stop and think about how the freaking record low for this day in 1950-something was 33 degrees. Well, that's, that's nothing to sneeze at. Well, maybe it is. And if it were really 33 degrees today, would I be out on a Hobie Cat? I certainly wouldn't be wearing shorts. That's... Oh, there's something in the water. Oh, too late. Oh, well. I thought I could grab it. Ow. And I burned my knees trying to do that. Ah, fuck. Holy shit. Uh-oh. Oh, hang on. Everybody relax. We don't have this camera in a nice dry bag, so I think I better put you away now. I better put you away. I think there it is. Yeah, I see the Arcadia little thingamajigger. The jumping off tower. All right, so I'm going to put you away now and get back to some concentrating on not dying, flipping the boat over. Because in shorts, in this water, I wouldn't last very long. I should have put on my wetsuit, right? Right? What was I thinking? All right, bye.
There's a month of blog posts, interviews, and more to be shared. But this is where Around Lake Michigan ends on the Daughter of Godcast, for now. We're moving on into 2011 in episode 027. Reestablished in Beulah, joining a thriving regional film community in delicious rapport with lake and forest. Let's remember Dan Kelly right here. A summer of sailing and movie making ahead of him, no idea who he would meet, what he would discover, or where he was going. Perfect. You've been sailing with the Daughter of Godcast, episode 026, Two or Two. We've wrapped the two open water expeditions of Around Lake Michigan and ended 2010. We've left two multi-year cinema projects incomplete. There will certainly be more sailing and physical-type adventures upcoming. Motorcycles, ice boats, nudity, illegalities, faux pas, and behaviors frowned on by all the best people. Movies on screens, but mostly in your mind. Next week again, shall we? You are invited.
Gonna maybe try and do 20, maybe 30 miles today down to Big Sable Point. It's a beautiful day, June 6th. Cloudy, chance of thunderstorms, 30% chance of rain, and 100% chance of fun!